Brooklyn's down to the last out.
Interior, Dizzy's apartment, living room, day. Paul listens to the radio. He stares into the kitchen at Patricia filling in the newspaper crossword puzzle and Dizzy yakking into the phone.
No, Branch. Not next contract. Now.
Interior, Branch Rickey's home, continuous. Branch holds his phone in his lap. He sits in the dark on a lavish couch, the only light coming from his fireplace.
We don't have the money right now.
No money. Well, why don't you shove one of those priceless cigars right up?
Branch presses down on the dial to cut Dizzy off. He sets his phone on the coffee table in front of him, revealing that the couch and center table are actually the only furniture in Branch's grand but empty living room. The truth behind the curtain of his confident persona, barely hanging on, just like everyone else. Interior, Dizzy's apartment, living room continuous. Dizzy hangs up the phone. He looks over at Paul.
Can you believe that guy?
Dizzy heads into the hallway bathroom.
Strike three! That's four wins in a row for the Gas House Gang!
The phone rings. Patricia puts down her newspaper.
It's fine, Pat. I'll get it.
With still no Dizzy and Daffy D.
Paul twists the knob to turn off the radio. Interior, kitchen, continuous. Paul answers the phone.
Sorry, Branch. Dizzy gets a little...
Paul, it's me, Dorothy. Meet me at this address.
I'm in no mood for a field trip.
It's not like you got a job to go to. Now write this down.
Paul sighs and grabs a piece of paper. Exterior, gas house, day. Paul turns a corner to find Dorothy.
Well, I'm here. What is it that you needed to show me?
A steam whistle blows to signal the end of the workday. Paul and Dorothy watch the factory door slide open. Some mangy workers file out, their clothes and faces painted black except for the sweat streaks.
See, that's real work. Because unlike you, they got something to work for.
If all you're gonna do is jab at me, you could have done it over the phone.
Paul turns to walk away.
Miss Sandusky, I read your story about the Gas House Gang. Please give them this letter.
Paul peeks back to see Dorothy reading a letter.
Dear Daffy, you're my favorite. You look so serious, but I know it means you're trying your hardest.
Dorothy glimpses up to make sure that Paul is listening.
You make me try real hard, too.
Dorothy folds up the letter.
Reporters all over are getting thousands of letters like these.
Just because a kid looks up to me doesn't mean that I shouldn't get what I deserve.
This was written by a 42-year-old plumber from Ohio.
Dorothy looks Paul up and down. She shakes her head.
Look at you. Now just another prissy ball player, too busy complaining to realize how good he's got it.
She slams the letter against Paul's chest.
Gas House Gang. I bet you couldn't last 2 minutes in there.
Dorothy takes her hand off the letter to walk away. Paul quickly slaps the letter to his chest before it drops. Exterior, Dizzy's apartment building, night. Paul strides down an empty street. He rereads the letter.
Heads up!
Paul looks up just in time to catch a raggedy baseball glove. Dizzy runs up with another ripped and tattered glove.
Remember these babies?
Can't believe you held on to them.
Paul reminisces as he slides on his mitt. Dizzy throws something at Paul. Paul catches it. He opens his glove to reveal a rock rolled up in a sock.
Thought we'd go back to our roots a little tonight.
Remember how Ma used to spank us for tearing holes in our socks?
I didn't see the big deal. Ain't like we had shoes to wear them in.
The brothers play catch with their ball.
Jay, are we being too greedy?
Dizzy catches the sock. He thinks for a moment.
You know, I got my first pair of new shoes on the day I joined the army. Nothing ever made me feel richer.
He lifts up his foot to stare at his shiny shoes.
It ain't greed, Paul, to want something more than nothing.
But now we got way more than a lot of people. Isn't that enough?
When we were born, all we had was the breath in our lungs. We've earned everything we got.
Dizzy pitches the sock as hard as he can. Paul's head ducks down and he catches the sock right where his face was.
I ain't sorry for wanting more.
Paul takes off the glove and heads to the apartment building.
Sometimes I miss Jay. Before there was Dizzy.
Paul drops the glove at Dizzy's feet without breaking stride. Interior, Gateway Motel, lobby, night. Dorothy stands in a phone booth. She rests the phone's earpiece on her shoulder as she rifles through some papers.
Great job with the article, Dow. Did you get the copy I sent you?
Yes, sir. It's just... You made quite a few changes.
I just spiced things up a bit.
Dorothy feverishly turns the pages.
I understand, but Paul specifically said that he wants the piece to be only about him. It's just that...
You want the front page or not?
Dorothy contemplates. A waiting man comes up to use the phone booth next. He unflaps his copy of a newspaper's late edition. The newspaper's back page title reads,
No Dizzy, No Daffy, No Problem.
Dorothy scowls.
Print it.
Atta girl.
Dorothy hangs up the phone's earpiece. Interior, Paul's room, night. Paul tosses and turns in bed. He looks out the window. Paul focuses on some factory smoke pumping into the sky. He gets out of bed and goes to the closet. He finds a torn-up flannel shirt. He slides on some blue jeans and fits in some boots. Lastly, Paul slaps on his worn-out baseball cap. Exterior, gas house, day. The huge double doors slide open. Two big foremen block a swarm of pleading men. The owner points out individual guys, and they race into the factory.
Roy, you did great work yesterday. Pete, this is your last chance.
Amidst the frenzy stands Paul. His yells and arm waves blend right in with the other desperate men.
Okay, that's it.
The owner and the foreman head back inside. The crowd disperses, but Paul rushes up to the owner. The foreman catch Paul before he can get any closer.
Sorry, Rook. Got all the men I need.
I'll work for free.
The owner takes a good look at Paul's face.
Say, aren't you Daffy Dean?
If I was, you think I'd be begging to work in a place like this?
The owner waves for Paul to come inside. Begin montage. Inside the gas house lies only darkness, except for the streaking light seeping in from high windows, exposing all the dirt and dust in the air. Paul arches his back to slowly lower a heavy box to the floor. He empties the box's materials onto a conveyor belt. In the afternoon, gears crunch and grind. Overworked machines blow steam into the already scorching heat. Paul helps other workers yank on a huge wrench to grind a bolt. Sweat drips off of Paul's face. At the end of the day, Paul and the other workers shovel coal into a large furnace. He breathes heavy. Wiping the sweat from his forehead only spreads a black coat on his face. He humbly peers at all the workers around him. The flames flicker shadows across their blackened faces. Too hungry to be tired. Too motivated to quit. End montage. Black. The two large doors open. The last bit of sunlight pours in and illuminates the workers waiting to exit. Exterior, gas house continuous. The workers herd out like a living, wandering storm cloud. Paul stumbles right in the thick with them, his face and clothes chalked in black. He looks up at the blue sky. He closes his eyes and deeply inhales his first taste of fresh, clean air. Interior, Dizzy's apartment, bathroom, night. Paul's dirty and bloodied fingernails scrub the grime out of his hair. The water at his feet turns brown as coffee. He rests his hands against the wall in the shower. Interior, kitchen, night. Dizzy eats at the table while Patricia fills the sink with water. A stack of dirty dishes sit on the counter next to her. Patricia spots Paul heading to the front door.
Hey, where have you been all day?
Paul stops. Dizzy notices the suitcase in Paul's hand.
Or better yet, where are you off to?
I'm catching the train to New York. There's 2 games left of the season, and I ain't missing them.
Dizzy gets up from the dining table.
We're in this together, remember? What about us finally getting ours?
That's the problem, Jay. You think we're owed something, but we ain't.
Paul opens the door to leave.
At least not more than anyone else.
He closes the door behind him.
Idiot's gonna ruin everything!
Patricia goes back to the sink where the faucet still runs.
Dizzy, do you remember that time you got punched while in the minors?
You'll have to narrow that one down.
One game you were just making the other team look silly.
Patricia turns off the faucet. The sink is now full of water.
Finally, one hitter had enough and hit you square in the face.
Oh, yeah. That guy was huge.
Mm-hmm. You kept standing back up and he'd knock you right down again.
But I finished that game.
Yes, you did. Beaten and bloodied. and without giving up one run.
Patricia starts washing the dishes with an aggressive calmness reserved only for sociopaths.
Dizzy, I don't love you because you think you're the best at everything. I love you because you're always trying to prove it.
Dizzy stands still and silent, like he's caught in the stare of a rattlesnake.
So pack a bag and get on that train, or I swear I'll divorce you.
Dizzy's eyes widen while Patricia scrubs a pot in the sink.
I'll find my own place and get a job, even two jobs if I have to, but I won't let my love become another thing you take for granted.
For the first time, Dizzy's scared, recognizing the sincerity in her voice.
What would you do?
Patricia finally looks up at Dizzy. Her voice breaks a little as she chokes up her response.
I'd be one hell of a fighter pilot.
Dizzy smirks as he wipes the tears swelling in his wife's eyes. He pulls her in close and kisses her on the head. Interior train night. Paul sits with his eyes closed. He opens them to see Dizzy coming down the aisle. Dizzy stops as he notices the vacant seat across from Paul. They stare at each other. Neither say anything to the other. Finally, Dizzy looks ahead and continues down the aisle for a different spot. Paul closes his eyes again. Interior Dizzy's apartment, living room, night. Someone knocks from outside the front door.
Paul, it's Dorothy.
More knocking ensues. Patricia comes up to the door.
Open up, you cowardly son of a...
Patricia opens the door to Dorothy's surprise.
Sorry, hun, you already missed them. They're on the way to New York to finish out the season.
Patricia steps to the side and holds out her arm.
But please, come in.
Dorothy obliges, too embarrassed to deny the invitation. Patricia goes to the kitchen.
I'm glad they're finally going back. Oh, me too. Should make for a thrilling end of the season.
Patricia returns with two cups of tea.
Do you like baseball?
I guess. A little boring sometimes.
I love baseball. Yes, it can drag, but when it gets exciting.
Patricia takes a sip from her cup and puckers her lips.
It's like a first kiss, you know? When your stomach's full of butterflies and then poof.
Patricia extends her arms to imitate a bat swing.
That's the thing about baseball. Intimacy. One-on-one, pure poetry.
They're throwing a ball, not writing Shakespeare.
Holding a paintbrush doesn't make you an artist. Take you, for example. You're a reporter.
No artist. Lately, it seems whatever creativity I do have is taken away from me.
Art's not about creativity, but rather the ability to impact others, whether positively or negatively.
Dorothy notices the newspaper on a side table, a half-finished crossword puzzle filled out.
Hello, folks. Well, it all comes down to this.
Interior Polo Ground stands day. A flood of fans flow into their seats at the Giants Stadium.
The Giants only need to win one game of this doubleheader. Then it's off to the World Series for the second straight year.
Interior field. Ripper and Pepper pretend baseball bats are instruments. Ripper blows into the handle like a flute. Pepper holds a bat like a fiddle and uses another bat as the bow to play it.
Or the Gas House Gang will take both games, along with the National League pennant.
Interior dugout. Frankie curiously hears footsteps coming from the tunnel to the locker room. Paul comes out. He's dressed in uniform.
Enjoy your little vacation.
Frankie, I want to say sorry for...
And seeing as how you're so well rested, if we win the first game, then you've got the second.
Frankie spits his tobacco onto the field.
Your brother here?
Somewhere around here.
Interior Giants locker room. McGraw leads his team in a meeting. He writes on a chalkboard on how to pitch to each member of the Cardinals lineup.
Ripper, inside, jamming, mixed speeds. Pepper, never anything low. Make him hit in the air. Medwick, swings at anything. Nothing over the plate. So, did I get it all right?
The Giants players twist around in their chairs. They surprisingly find Dizzy picking at his teeth in the back row.
Yep. And now I'm going to have to pitch to these mugs.
Dizzy points to a random player.
Gus Mancuso, nervous to swing with, two strikes, hammer to the outside, wait for you to file off two pitches and then come inside late. You'll just watch it go by.
The Giants tug on their collars. This time, Dizzy's not joking. Dizzy points to the next player down the row.
Now, Travis Jackson.
Interior field day. A fly ball plops into Leo's mitt.
And that's it for Jackson and the Giants. Dizzy earns his 30th win and shuts out the Giants. 4-0.
The team rushes out of the dugout to rally around Dizzy, except for Paul, who remains on the bench. Interior locker room day. The Cardinals players rest before the second game. Paul eats a sandwich. Ripper pulls up a chair next to him.
Hey, buddy.
I sort of thought nobody would talk to me for a while.
Don't sweat it. These guys been around the game long enough to know when something smells Dizzy.
Medwick snores on a bench. Dizzy, Leo, and Pepper take turns trying to shoot popcorn into Medwick's mouth.
It's like they forgot he ever left.
Everyone's quick to forgive when you win a big game.
And if you don't.
Ripper pats Paul on the back.
It's a long off season. Maybe they'll come around.
Ripper heads over to a nearby card game. Paul puts down his sandwich, suddenly losing his appetite. Interior field. Frankie McGraw exchanged lineup cards at home plate.
Medwick leading off? That's a bold move, even for you.
Frankie reads McGraw's lineup card without a response. He turns to walk back to the Cardinal dugout.
You missed the sign.
Frankie stops. He looks over his shoulder back at McGraw.
What did you say?
Interior locker room. Two lockers down from Paul, Dizzy sits in an empty chair.
One more for all the marbles.
He tosses a popcorn puff and catches it with his mouth.
I can give you a few pointers.
I don't need anything from you.
Paul gets up and heads into the tunnel toward the dugout. Interior field. McGraw shrugs his shoulders.
You're the one that missed the sign. I don't know why you blame me for losing the game.
You think I've been mad at you because we lost some nothing game?
What else could it be?
Frankie just stares at him, unsure where to even start. Interior tunnel. Dizzy follows Paul.
Since when are you two good to take advice from your big brother?
Since your last idea got the whole team hating me.
At the end of the tunnel, the team quiets down to overhear the echoes from the sibling dispute. Interior field. Frankie clenches his fist while McGraw scratches his chin.
You chewed me out in front of everyone over one meaningless game.
Typical Frankie. More wine than whiskey in your blood.
Behind Frankie, Paul comes out of the tunnel. Dizzy stomps right after Paul.
Oh, I get it. Whenever something bad happens, it's all my fault.
Paul keeps his eyes forward to try and ignore Dizzy.
But when it's something good, then you did it all on your own.
The eavesdropping players poke their heads around the corner.
You wouldn't even be on this team if it weren't for me.
That does it. Paul punches Dizzy in the jaw. Dizzy tackles him. The team rushes to pull them apart, but the scuffle shifts to a team-wide brawl as players choose sides between the brothers. The only one not engaging is Medwick, interestingly enough. He checks the lineup card on the wall and sees he's up first. Completely focused on their squabble, Frankie and McGraw remain oblivious to the fight in the dugout.
Tell you what, after I beat you today, I'll meet you in the lot out back, and you can kiss my ring without anyone seeing.
McGraw flashes his World Series championship ring.
You can remember what victory tastes like.
Frankie snarls at McGraw.
I used to look up to you.
Frankie straightens his hat on his head and stands proud.
Now that I'm a manager, I'll prove that I don't need to humiliate my teammates to win.
He hears something break behind him. Frankie turns around to find the free-for-all between his team.
You're doing a bang-up job.
Yeah, and that's how hard they kick each other's ass. Think about what they're gonna do to your boys.
Frankie sprints towards his dugout. Paul and Dizzy lay in the middle of the chaos. Each tries to squeeze the other into submission. A baseball bat slams against the floor just above Paul and Dizzy's head. Medwick at the helm.
Keep it up. I'll break up the brother act right now.
Paul and Dizzy let go of each other. Medwick steps onto the field toward home plate as Frankie hops into the dugout.
Damn it! Can't we wait to kill each other after the season's over?
The team calms down and everyone takes a seat. Paul and Dizzy plant themselves at the far opposite sides of the bench. They glare at each other until whack! Medwick sends a screaming ball over the left field wall for a home run. The team cheers as he rounds the bases. Medwick touches home plate and waddles back into the dugout. He bypasses all the high fives and stands in front of Paul.
Let's see if you can keep that lead.
Paul stands up eye to eye with Medwick, no longer the scared rookie that was bullied back in spring training. Begin montage. On the mound, Paul floats in a curveball, but it's hit right at Pepper, who catches it almost by mistake. Later, a Giants player hits Paul's pitch up the middle. Frankie dives to snag it. He throws the ball to first. Ripper stretches to get the out. In a late inning, Paul's fastball is hit to left field. Medwick catches it on the run over his shoulder. End montage. Paul takes off his hat and uses his glove to wipe his face.
Daffy Dean is one strike away from earning a no-hitter.
Paul settles as the Giants hitter raises his bat.
And launching his team into the World Series.
Paul slings the ball to the plate. Just as the ball is about to pop into the catcher's mitt. Interior locker room night. Camera flash. Photographers capture the Cardinal celebration. Ripper and Medwick gleefully pour champagne over each other's heads. Pepper sings and sways back and forth in the corner. Reporters hound around Dizzy.
Jealous of your little brother there, Dizzy?
Hell, if I'd known he was gonna throw a no-hitter, I'd have done one too.
Paul scoffs at their blind love for Dizzy.
You predicted 45 wins between you and Daffy, but it went all the way to 49. So you even underestimated yourself this time.
I'll never make that mistake again.
The reporters laugh alongside Dizzy.
What's your thought on the Tigers?
I'm more of a dog person myself.
Seriously, for once, Dizzy. Six of their starters hit over 300. Five have 98 or more RBIs. Greenberg alone has 139. Ain't you even a little nervous?
Dizzy has a real fear in his eyes, for half of a second.
They ain't nothing but a bunch of pussycats.
The reporters laugh again and scribble every word of the gospel according to Dizzy. Paul can't take it anymore. He wanders into the tunnel. Interior tunnel continuous. Paul paces a bit. Then he pounds his fist into the wall.
If you're gonna do that, at least use your left.
Paul turns to Leo with a newspaper tucked underneath his arm.
Some show you put on today.
You're the only one who noticed. I pitch a no-hitter, yet he gets all the attention.
And did you make every out?
Paul softly shakes his head no.
You know, for a guy crying about getting his pat on the back, you ain't dishing out a whole lot of thank yous yourself.
Leo holds out the newspaper for Paul. Confused, Paul takes it.
Seems you're more like Dizzy than you think.
Leo meanders back to the locker room. Paul unfolds the newspaper to an article.
Dizzy's little brother, remarkable in rookie season, by Dorothy Sandusky.
Paul throws the paper against the wall. Interior Giants bus night. The Giants players drag their feet in the aisle. McGraw finds his seat up at the front. A champagne bottle sits in the chair with a note tied around the neck. He reads the note.
In case you want to remember what victory tastes like, Frankie.
Out of the window, McGraw spots Frankie. Exterior parking lot continuous. McGraw dumps the bottle out the window as the bus drives away. Branch comes up next to Frankie. They stand silently for a moment until Branch holds up a cigar.
You ever think about forgiving him?
Frankie takes the cigar. Branch lights it for him.
As much as he thinks about apologizing.
He lets out the smoke through his nostrils like a wild bull. Exterior Detroit, Michigan, Navin Field Day. Home of the Detroit Tigers. Fans crowd through the gates. A scalper calls out like a carnival ringmaster.
Come on, guys and gals. This is a World Series classic in the making. I got box seats to watch the Detroit Tigers, the only 100-win team of the season, clash against...
He climbs up a lamppost.
That never say die, Gas House Gang.
A fan hails down the scalper, and he hops to the ground. Interior general manager's box. Branch takes a seat in a very comfy chair. He drags a fresh cigar under his nose and takes a long whiff. Interior locker room. Frankie gives a personal pep talk to each player as he strolls past the lockers. He passes Ripper.
Stretch on their leadoff, man. He's quick out of the box. You got it.
Next, Medwick.
Wait for your pitch. We need homers, not singles.
Medwick only nods. Then to Leo.
Wait until at least game five before you punch one of the umpires.
Not making any promises.
Frankie looks over his shoulder to suddenly find Pepper right behind him in a construction worker's costume. Pepper grins as he waits for his turn to hear from Frankie, but Frankie shakes his head and skips him. Pepper shrugs. He takes off his hard hat and puts on his ball cap. Frankie sees Paul heading to the bathroom. Interior bathroom continuous. Paul stands at a urinal. Frankie steps in and sits on a sink.
Hey, Paul. Got a minute?
Paul turns his head to speak back at Frankie.
My hands are a little full right now, Skip. But go ahead.
You're not starting tomorrow.
Paul flushes the toilet. He turns around to glare at Frankie.
I'm gonna wait to start you until game three.
This is bull. I got the most wins besides Jay.
And what you don't have, composure. At least not enough to handle this like a professional.
Paul swallows his tongue and begrudgingly walks out. Frankie sighs. He hears a toilet flush. A stall door opens to reveal Dizzy with his glove on his head. Dizzy heads to the sink and washes his hands.
Do I need to give you a speech too?
Dizzy takes the glove off his head and slides it onto his hand.
Nah. Just have the catcher put up his mitt. I'll take care of the rest.
Dizzy pounds a fist into his glove. Interior field day. The ball zips past the Tigers hitter and into the catcher's glove.
Dizzy Dean goes the distance as the Gas House Gang takes game one.
Dizzy and the catcher high five on the mound. From the dugout, Paul watches everyone congratulate each other on the field. Interior dugout continuous. Something catches Paul's peripheral. He glimpses into the stand at a woman. Dorothy? No, Paul sees it's just someone else. He sighs to himself and mingles in with the team into the tunnel. Exterior St. Louis Street, night. Paul holds out his hand to stop a car. He jogs across the street and up to the Gateway Motel. Interior Gateway Motel, hallway, night. Paul knocks on room 314. A plump woman opens the door. Not who he was expecting, but Paul takes a surprise step back. He scans inside and sees a bunch of guests sharing the tiny hotel room.
Can I help you?
Is Dorothy here?
Dorothy hides from Paul behind a corner. She overhears the conversation between Paul and the plump woman.
She couldn't chip in her rent. Had to let her go.
Oh, thank you.
Paul shoves his hands in his pockets and leaves. Dorothy hangs her head. Exterior sidewalk, night. Paul ambles about with his head down. It starts to rain. He ducks underneath the building next to him. Drenched, he brushes off the water out of his hair.
Ticket for one?
Paul realizes he's next to a movie theater ticket booth. A theater usher stares awkwardly from inside.
If you're going to wait out the rain, I need you to buy a ticket.
Yeah, sure.
Paul digs into his pocket. Interior movie theater continuous. Paul tiptoes inside an auditorium. It's empty except for a few stragglers wanting a warm place to rest for a few hours. Paul takes a seat. A newsreel projects on the screen. It shows Roosevelt outside the White House.
Good showings for the economy as the GNP rises to 8%.
The newsreel shows men and women at the welfare office.
Unemployment drops to almost 22% as America begins the fight out of the depression.
The newsreel shifts to sports and shows, Dizzy.
World Series games 1 and 2 are in the books. The Gas House Gang took game one behind strikeout leader Dizzy Dean.
Paul sneers at all the attention given to Dizzy.
But the powerhouse Tigers evened out the series after winning game two, led by 26 home run hitter Hank Greenberg.
Paul watches footage of Greenberg hitting a ball over the outfield fence. As he trots to first, Greenberg puts two fingers to his eyes as he passes the visitor's dugout. Cut to interior Sportsman Park tunnel flashback. Paul realizes the reels from when he watched the Browns game. He remembers locking eyes with Greenberg as he pointed his fingers out. I see you. Cut back to interior movie theater. Paul breathes heavy as the reel shows Greenberg rounding the bases. He wipes off the rain from his forehead. Interior Sportsman Park field day. Sweat pours off of Paul's face. He winces as he throws a pitch. The Tigers player watches it skip in the dirt.
That's ball four.
Branch nervously wipes his glasses as he watches overhead.
And Daffy's making it interesting here in the ninth.
Two Tigers players now stand at first and second base. Frankie jogs to Paul on the mound.
Don't even think about it, Frankie.
You pitched a hell of a game. Don't ruin it by being a stubborn ass.
You kept Jay in for the full nine.
That's what this is about. Proving you're just as good as Big Brother.
Frankie holds out his glove for Paul to drop the ball in. but Paul just grips the ball tighter.
Fine. This game is yours. Win or lose, you live with it.
Frankie returns back to his position on the field.
And Frisch is leading the rookie in. That's some confidence he has in the young hurler.
Interior Gateway Motel, room 314. Dorothy and the room guests listen to the game on the radio. Dorothy clenches onto the skirt of her dress. Interior field. Paul turns to his next batter, Greenberg.
In steps, hammering Hank Greenberg.
Greenberg licks his chops. Paul pitches. Greenberg rifles the ball right up the middle. Paul falls over as the ball nearly hits him in the face.
One run scores. The tying run stops at third as Greenberg delivers. And nearly decapitates Daffy.
Paul curses himself. Greenberg puts two fingers to his eyes, then points them at Paul. I still see you. Paul tries to refocus on the new Tigers hitter digging into the batter's box. Paul gets set and winds up, but he can't help it. He glances back at Greenberg as he pitches. The Tigers player cranks it into the air. Interior Gateway Motel, room 314.
This one's going deep. Back, 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 and caught at the wall.
Dorothy exhales in relief. The other guests cheer.
The Tigers' rally literally comes just short as the Gashouse Gang takes the series lead, 2-1.
Another guest turns the radio knob to some music. Everyone dances to celebrate their team's win. Everyone except Dorothy, who still has a tight grip on her dress skirt. Exterior St. Louis sidewalk night. A begging family holds out their empty palms to a suited man, but the suited man completely ignores them as he strolls by. A balloon full of white paint explodes all over him.
Damn, kids! Why I oughta...
A barrage of balloons fall all around him. Interior, hotel, continuous. Dizzy and Pepper laugh as they watch the suited man scurry to safety. Dizzy loads some paint into another balloon.
You sure you don't want to go get Paul? He'd get a real kick out of this. Let him sleep. He had a tough game. Two of you talking yet?
Dizzy glares at Pepper. They spot a rich couple raising their noses at the begging family as they strut by.
Well, maybe you shouldn't have pushed him into that mess to start with.
Pepper and Dizzy dangle their balloons outside the window.
He's a big boy. No one forced him.
They time their drop and release their balloons. The balloons burst and drench the couple in paint. They run off.
What else was he gonna do, Diz? Leave his brother behind?
Dizzy looks back out the window in thought. He sees a fancy man in a top hat shoo away the begging family before crossing the street.
He ain't gonna walk under us. Don't worry. I'll get him.
From out of nowhere, Pepper whips out his hunting rifle.
What the hell are you doing?
Pepper shoots the top hat right off the fancy man's head. He immediately hits the deck. Dizzy pauses in shock, then overflows with laughter.
We better split before whoever's room this is comes back.
Interior, Sportsman Park, day. A Cardinal hitter sprints to first base. He beats the throw. The umpire holds out his arms.
Safe!
The hitter hobbles and grabs his thigh. Interior, General Manager's box. Branch claps at the hitter's hustle.
And it's tied up here in game four, with a runner on first with only one out.
Interior dugout. Frankie addresses his team.
I need fresh legs on first.
Paul notices Dizzy's arm eagerly waving to volunteer.
Oh, I'll do it. Save it for tomorrow, Diz.
Come on, let him run something more than his mouth for once.
Paul watches Dizzy pop onto the field toward first base. Dizzy dances to take his lead off of first. Greenberg leans out to receive a pickoff from the Tigers' pitcher.
And where are you going, pitter-patter?
Just got rhythm in my soul, is all.
The pitcher hurries a throw to first. Dizzy dives back in safely. Greenberg returns the ball to the pitcher. Dizzy stands up. He doesn't bother dusting off fresh dirt streaks on his uniform.
Is that the hardest he can throw? No wonder the boy's got no trouble hitting off him.
Keep yapping. See what happens.
The pitcher throws. The Cardinals batter hits the ball slowly to Greenberg. Dizzy sprints to the next base. Greenberg fiercely fires the ball towards second as Dizzy slides in. The ball bashes against Dizzy's head. Dizzy falls flat. Greenberg retrieves the ball and stands over him.
That'll shut you up.
Dizzy's eyes flutter as he remains quiet and motionless. Interior stands. The fans have fallen deathly silent. They cover their mouths and whisper in worry. Branch is frozen at the sight. He holds a lit match an inch away from a new cigar inside his mouth. Interior dugout. Paul slowly stands up. His face scrunches as his blood boils.
Bastard!
Paul bolts out of the dugout. His teammates follow suit. Interior field continues. The Tigers and the Cardinals empty their benches. The umpires scramble to come between them.
The first man that throws a punch is gone for the rest of the series.
Frankie gets in front of Paul, who holds him back. Paul tries to push past him while Greenberg just grins.
Easy. Can't lose you too.
Frankie struggles to brace Paul. Ripper and Medwick join in to help. Tears begin to punch through Paul's rage.
The Gashouse Gang took it in the teeth as they lose game four. With no bigger hit than the loss of their ace, Dizzy Dean.
Paul keeps fighting to break free as he watches Pepper and Leo carry Dizzy off the field. Interior hospital hallway, night. Paul peeks into every room that he passes.
They want you to stay overnight for observation.
Paul rushes to where he hears Patricia's voice. Interior hospital room continuous. Paul looks inside to find Dizzy standing in a hospital gown, an ice pack wrapped around his head.
If they want to watch me so bad, they can buy a ticket to the game.
You're not really thinking about pitching tomorrow, are you?
Dizzy turns as he notices Paul's sudden presence.
Ah, don't worry. They x-rayed my head last night and found nothing.
Maybe for just one game, another pitcher at his best is better than you at half yours?
Half of me is better than any other pitcher at his best.
Oh my God. You've actually fallen for your own lie, haven't you?
Ain't bragging if I can back it up.
Paul shakes his head in disbelief.
You want to know why you'll never be as good as me, Paul? Because there's no winning with you.
Dizzy unwraps the bandage on his head.
You're always expecting to get beat. So you look for something or someone to blame when it happens.
He puts his hands on his chest.
See, if I win tomorrow, you'll say I'm hogging all the spotlight as you go for the finishing game.
He yanks off his hospital gown and slides his jersey back on.
And if I lose, you'll whine about how all the pressure's on you to keep us in it.
His fingers fumble over each other to button up his jersey.
But I ain't your anchor. I'm your crutch. That thing you hide behind because you're scared.
Dizzy wobbles a bit as he heads to the door. Patricia races to his side to support him.
Scared that no matter if I win or if I lose tomorrow, you're finally getting what you've always wanted.
Dizzy leans on Patricia as the two leave the room.
All eyes are on you.
Paul can only gulp as retort, knowing Dizzy to be right. Interior field day. Dizzy squints to read the catcher's sign through his sweat.
I heard Dizzy was in high spirits before the game today, but something's definitely off with the ace.
The Tigers hitter slams Dizzy pitch deep for a home run.
The Tigers cruise through game five and are one away from winning the whole shebang.
Paul sits wide-eyed on the bench with the team.
With only Daffy Dean standing in their way.
The players next to Paul just so happen to get up or scoot over. Paul now sits alone. Exterior park, night. A pond calmly lays flat and still. Then a rock skips several times on the surface, forcing the water to ripple. Paul whips his arm again to send another stone bouncing off of the pond. He kneels down. His hands toss around the rubble in search for some more smooth stones. A hand presents a flat rock right in front of Paul's face. He peers up at Dorothy standing next to him.
How do you keep finding me?
I'm a reporter, Paul. A good one.
Paul takes the stone from Dorothy.
I thought you left.
I'm on my way out. Can't afford to live out of a suitcase anymore.
Paul stands up with a few stones in one hand.
Look, about my article.
It's fine. It's not like I gave you a whole lot to go on.
Paul skips a stone.
Do me a favor, though. Give me your headline for tomorrow. One if I win, and one if I lose.
If you win, Dizzy goes for broke in game 7. And if you lose, Daffy, so close yet so far.
So either way, it's all about Dizzy.
There's a reason why you're always in his shadow. Dizzy just casts too bright of a light.
Paul angrily chucks a rock into the water.
I'll never get a good shake while he's around.
Maybe you're right.
Dorothy grabs Paul's arm before he throws another.
But who cares? Just win.
She covers up his ears.
Win and ignore what everyone else says. Even if history forgets about you, remember that you won this game. And that should be enough.
Paul calmly takes her hands off the side of his head.
And if I lose?
Then own up to it. No one else is on that mound but you. It has nothing to do with Dizzy. It has barely anything to do with the Tigers.
Dorothy passes a rock into Paul's hand.
Make this one all about you.
Paul passes a ticket for tomorrow's game into Dorothy's hand as he takes the rock.
Paul, I have to get back.
Don't tell me if you're coming or not. Just let me pitch like I think you're watching.
Their hands graze as Paul leans in, but Dorothy turns and walks away.
Get your rest.
Paul watches her go, rubbing the stone in his grip. Exterior hotel, day. A bellhop carries a rich woman's luggage. He stops to admire Paul as he exits the hotel lobby and dips into a cab. Interior, taxicab continuous. As he drives, the cab driver peeks in the rearview mirror at Paul in the backseat.
Can't they see the cab's taken?
They aren't trying to catch a ride. They're waving at you, Mr. Dean.
Paul looks out at bystanders. They give him thumbs up and lift their caps to salute Paul as he goes by. Interior, house, living room, day. Satchel and the rest of the Monarchs huddle around the radio.
Shh! Hush now, I can't hear!
Simple as this. Win or go home.
Satchel turns up the volume.
Do the Tigers have what it takes to finish the job?
Interior bar continuous. The place is filled with the workers and the owner of the gas house where Paul worked for a day.
Or can the gas house gang hustle it out at least one more time?
The workers clank their glasses and cheer at the thought.
Find out now in Game 6 of the 1934 World Series.
Interior locker room, day. Paul sits on a stool. A hand pats him on the shoulder.
How you feeling, kid?
Fine. Just fine.
Good. Because don't fool yourself, gentlemen.
Branch wanders in the middle of the room.
No one cares about the runner-ups.
He strolls around the room.
No one ever remembers the team that almost won the World Series. The men who almost inspired a nation to hope. To fight.
Branch picks up a lone baseball on the ground.
And champions come every year. If the Tigers win the series, then they will celebrate. Their city will cheer. And they will be forgotten.
He rubs some dirt off the ball with his thumb.
But if we win, with dirty patched jerseys, scraggly faces, and empty pockets, we're not just champions, we're immortals.
Branch locks eyes with Paul and drops the ball in his glove.
We showed that Americans weren't going to take it lying down. And when our backs are against the wall is when we battle the hardest.
The team nods, feeling the fire in their bellies.
We showed them all, right here on this field, what it means to believe again.
The players holler. They run into the tunnel toward the dugout as Branch stays behind.
Fine speech.
Branch turns to find Commissioner Landis coming through the door into the locker room.
Oh, next year. Don't wait so late in the season before using it.
So there will be a next year.
Commissioner Landis tips his hat towards Branch and heads on out of the locker room. Interior dugout continuous. The team rushes straight from the tunnel to the field. Paul stops just short of the stairs. The players go past him like river flowing around a rock. He takes a deep breath in, then races up the steps. Interior field. The fans whistle and howl at the sight of their beloved gas house gang. They perform their usual goofy pregame antics. Interior bleachers. Branch goes up to a mom and her family in the back row.
Excuse me. Would you be interested in possibly trading seats?
Are they good?
They're the general manager's box.
The mom and family's jaws drop. Interior taxicab. It's the same cab driver who drove Paul. He picks up his next passenger and tunes his car radio to the ballgame.
Pepper wobbles his bat at the plate. The pitcher checks on Ripper as he wanders off for a big lead from second. Here's the pitch.
Interior field. Pepper slaps the ball off of the ground and high up in the air. Ripper rounds third and flies home.
Ripper isn't stopping.
The pitcher catches the ball and instinctively throws to Greenberg at first base. But Pepper steps safely on the bag. Greenberg fires the ball towards home plate. The Tigers catcher has to reach out for the ball and Ripper slides in.
The throw comes high and the Gashouse gang leads 1-0.
Interior bar. The owner and Gashouse workers hoot and bang on the counters in excitement. Interior living room. Satchel and the Monarchs listen in.
Here we are, in the bottom of the third. Greenberg stands at the plate. Daffy nervously spins the ball as he reads the catcher's sign. He sets and throws.
The Monarchs perk up at the noise, but Satchel already droops his face. As a pitcher, he unfortunately recognizes the sound.
Greenberg lifts the ball over deep center field for a home run.
The Monarchs collectively groan at the radio.
And Daffy's woes with Greenberg continue. And just like that, the Tigers have it all tied up at one.
Interior field. Greenberg slowly rounds the bases. Paul rubs his shoulder for a second. He stops once he sees Frankie taking notice. Paul pitches, and the Tigers hitter smacks a line drive right at center fielder for the final out of the inning. The teams run into the dugout. Dizzy practices juggling baseballs. Frankie sits next to him.
Ready to go?
Should be tip-top by tomorrow.
What about today?
Dizzy drops all of the balls that he's trying to juggle. One of the balls rolls against Medwick's foot.
Then who'd start tomorrow?
Can't worry about tomorrow if we don't win today.
Frankie grabs a bat.
Stay loose in case I call you.
Frankie steps out of the dugout and into the on-deck circle. A tossed ball floats down in front of Dizzy. He tries to catch it, but the ball hits his hand and falls to the floor.
Nah, you're not all there. Not that you were to start.
Medwick taps the side of his own head.
Don't take Paul out if you know he's the right one out there.
I'm always the right one.
It's funny. I've heard you brag about just about everything. Everything except being an older brother.
Medwick leaves to take an empty seat on the bench next to Paul. He knocks on Paul's chest twice and nods. Dizzy gazes down at his hand. It shakes. Interior field later. Leo and Medwick take their leads from first and second. The Tigers pitcher tries to sneak an inside strike to Frankie, but he hits a bloop over Greenberg covering first base. Leo and Medwick take off. Frankie sprints behind them. He stops at second base to see Leo score.
That's one for the Gashouse gang to retake the lead.
Medwick waddles as fast as he can towards home. The throw comes to the plate. Medwick dives head first. Interior taxicab. The car now sits in park as the cab driver and the passenger wait for the call.
Safe at home. The Gashouse gang sits tight. Up by 2 in the fifth.
The cab driver turns around and high-fives the passenger. Interior bleachers. Branch places two fingers in his mouth around a cigar. He blows smoke out and whistles at the same time. Interior field later.
From the stance, Daffy checks the runner leading from third.
Paul pitches. The Tigers batter hits a sinking line drive to right field. Medwick lays out for the ball, but it falls just beyond Medwick's reach.
The ball rolls all the way to the wall.
The Tigers runner scores easily while the Tigers batter chugs his way to a stand-up triple.
The Tigers switch places at third to cut the lead in half. And here comes Greenberg again.
Interior bar. The workers yell and complain. The bartender pours new drinks for his saddened customers. Interior field. Frankie points to Dizzy inside the dugout. The fans buzz as Dizzy heads to the bullpen. Paul glares over at Frankie. His manager unapologetically stares right back at him. Paul turns to Greenberg at the plate. Paul pitches and Greenberg hits it far to left field. The fans ease out of their seats.
It's going, going, going!
And Medwick catches the ball with his back against the wall.
and not quite enough.
Interior taxicab. A few listeners off the street have joined the cab driver and passenger to follow the game. They all release a deep exhale.
But the runout tanks from third to tie the score.
Interior field. Greenberg jogs past Paul on his way to the dugout.
I won't miss the next one.
Paul peeks over at Dizzy, who's now throwing hard in the pen. His next pitch comes in two inside, and it pegs the next Tigers hitter on the elbow. The Tigers hitter shoots a death stare at Paul on his way to first base. Fans murmur and a few boo from the stands. Paul rubs out his frustration against the ball. Frankie slowly walks to the mound. He signals to Dizzy. Interior living room.
Looks like the skipper is making a pitching change.
Monarchs openly argue with each other over whether to keep Paul in the game or not. Satchel flaps his hands to try and quiet everyone down. Interior field. Dizzy glances down at his quivering hand holding a baseball.
Dizzy, let's go.
Paul furrows his brow, his anger shifting to confusion. Dizzy looks to left field. Medwick crosses his arms. Dizzy nods and drops the ball. He points his glove at Paul.
You got this, Paul.
Dizzy ducks back into the dugout. The other players stand frozen in shock as Dizzy takes a seat on the bench. Paul turns to await instructions from Frankie.
Well, you heard him.
Frankie heads back to second base.
Unbelievable. Frisch has no one else to bring in. He has to leave Daffy in the game.
The fans start to cheer to rally Paul. Fresh with the second win, Paul gets set and throws. The Tigers batter hits it up the middle. Frankie dives. The ball knocks off the tip of Frankie's glove and ricochets over to Leo. He barehands the ball. His foot drags over second base as he fires over to Ripper at first for the double play.
The Gassos gang does it again!
The fans erupt. Paul salutes his glove at Leo and Frankie. The team sprints into the dugout with new life. Branch and the other fans clap while letting out a unified sigh of relief.
The Gassos gang is threatening to retake the lead. With only one out here in the seventh.
Two Cardinal runners stand on second and third base. Frankie watches the Cardinal hitter swing and miss. He turns to a teammate behind him.
You're hitting for Paul.
Dizzy springs up and points a finger in that teammate's face.
You keep your ass right where it is. Damn it, Dizzy, I'm trying to win a game here.
Me too. And leaving in Paul is the only way we're going to do it.
From the on-deck circle, Paul overhears the commotion between Dizzy and Frankie.
Strike three!
Dizzy and Frankie perk up to see the hitter strike out.
Frankie, are you really going to be the kind of manager who ditches his player after one mistake?
Frankie hesitates. Caught in a staring contest with Dizzy, he glimpses over at Paul, who still waits in the on-deck circle.
You going to show us your ugly mug all day, or are you getting in the box?
Paul grins and heads to the plate. Exterior street.
And Daffy steps into the batter's box. He was never known for his bat, and with good reason.
Two kids run through a huge crowd. Different groups huddle around various parked cars to listen into the game. The kids finally find a group that they can squeeze by and come up right next to the taxicab.
The first throw comes in high, and Daffy chases it for strike one.
Interior field. Paul drags his bat across the plate and lifts it up again. This time, the Tigers pitcher lays a fastball straight down the middle for strike two.
The Tigers are a strike away from getting out of the inning unscathed.
Paul lets out a heavy exhale. He focuses. The Tigers pitcher nods for his sign. He checks the runners. He winds up and pitches. Paul refuses to blink as the ball leaves the pitcher's hand. He sees it in slow motion coming toward the plate. Paul begins to swing. The ball starts to drift away. Paul stretches his arms out as far as he can. Bump! Paul makes contact, and the ball softly shoots at the gap between Greenberg and the Tigers' second baseman.
Daffy comes through!
One Cardinal runner cruises to home plate to score.
One runs in.
The other Cardinals player from second base crosses third base. Paul sprints to first and stops. He watches the Tigers outfielder scoop the ball and heave it toward the plate.
There's a play at the plate.
The Cardinals player charges hard towards home. The Tigers catcher holds his ground. He catches the ball from the outfielder just as the Cardinal player bulldozes into it. They tumble over, but the catcher hangs on to the ball.
And he's out to end the inning. But the Gas House Gang gets one after blowing the lead twice already.
Interior living room. The Monarchs solemnly clap, hoping for more runs but settling for the lead. Interior field. Paul yanks off his hat in disappointment. Frankie comes up next to him with his glove.
Shake it off, Paul.
Thanks for keeping me in.
It took some convincing.
Paul peeks at Dizzy, joyfully imitating Paul's hit in the dugout to the other players. Interior bleachers later. Branch buys some popcorn for everyone in his row. Interior field. The Cardinals catcher reaches off the plate to catch ball four from Paul.
A walk to start the bottom of the ninth. And the go-ahead run comes to the plate.
Paul scans the stands as fans mutter with doubt. But he hears one voice of encouragement.
Hey, all eyes on you, remember?
Paul looks over at his dugout. Dizzy leads the team in cheering for Paul.
This is your moment!
Paul adjusts his hat, determination in his eyes. He pitches to the Tigers' batter. The batter hits it to first, where Ripper jumps into the air to make the catch.
Ripper leaps into the air to snag the ball for the first out.
Interior bar. The workers let out a joint deep breath. Many of them take another drink to help calm their nerves. Interior field. Ripper throws the ball back to Paul.
I would have thought that he'd need a ladder to get that high.
Paul readies and throws to the next Tigers hitter. He jumps on the first pitch and pops it up into foul territory. Leo races over but runs out of room as he reaches the edge of the stands. But then out of nowhere, Pepper plunges into the first rows to come up with the catch. He lands on a fat man's lap and raises the ball.
And Pepper dives into the stands for out number two. But the runner tags from first to second.
Pepper steals a handful of the fat man's peanuts as the other fans surf him back to the field.
The Gas House Gang is one out from forcing a deciding game seven. But the Tigers now have the tying run in scoring position.
Paul looks in as Greenberg steps up to the plate. The catcher sets up way outside to intentionally walk him. But Paul throws a pitch in for called strike one.
Strike one!
Greenberg steps back, surprised that he got a pitch to hit. Paul puts two fingers up to his eyes and points them at the batter's box. Greenberg smiles at the challenge. Paul throws a fastball, but leaves it over the plate. Greenberg hammers it to deep left, but it hooks just foul.
Strike two!
It don't get much closer than that, folks.
The catcher tosses Paul a new ball. He immediately gets in his stance on the mound.
Daffy doesn't bother checking the runner on second. This is it.
Paul nods his head.
He's got his sign.
He kicks off the rubber and whips his arm forward.
And here's the pitch.
The ball slings out of his hand to home plate. Greenberg cocks his elbow up. He shifts his weight to his front foot. He swings and misses the ball as it lands in the catcher's mitt.
Strike three, you're out.
The Gas House Gang has done it. We are going to game seven.
The team jumps for joy as they mob to the mound. Dizzy rushes as the first one out of the dugout. Interior bar. Bartenders overflow glasses and freely pass out drinks to the jovial workers. Interior living room. The Monarchs run around the house screaming in pure glee. Satchel, though, just leans back in his chair. He merely closes his eyes and smiles. Interior street. Strangers hug one another. They sing songs and shout while drivers honk their cars in jubilation, including the cab driver who feverishly lays down on his horn. Branch joins in the roar from the fans in the stands. Interior field. Dizzy and Paul hug tightly as the rest of the team dogpiles on top of them. Interior locker room day. Reporters hound around Paul.
Did you hold your breath on that last foul ball?
I've never breathed harder. Had to push the wind to stop it from going fair.
The reporters laugh. They start packing up their notepads.
All right, we'll get out of your hair. Big game tomorrow, after all.
Paul turns to his locker as the reporters disperse. Ripper taps Paul on the back.
Hey, got time for one more?
Paul perks up. He searches for someone specific, but he spots a typical reporter with a pencil in his ear. Paul hunches his shoulders, but he forces a smile.
Sure, send him over.
Ripper waves over the reporter. Interior hotel, elevator, night. Utterly exhausted, Paul struggles to stand up straight. The elevator dings. The doors open to reveal Dorothy leaning against the wall down the hall. Interior hallway continuous. Paul smiles and wobbles down the hall next to Dorothy. He notices the ripped ticket stub in her hand. Paul unlocks the door to his room and pushes it open.
Want to come inside?
Probably shouldn't. I got a train in the morning.
So why are you here?
Just to say good game.
Paul inches closer to her.
That's it?
Why? You got a better headline?
Paul pulls her in for a kiss. He caresses her back as he holds her close. Together, they roll into Paul's room. The door shuts behind them. A do not disturb sign rocks side to side on the doorknob. Interior, hotel room, day. Dorothy lays on top of Paul under the bedsheets. She draws on his bare chest.
Nervous about today?
My job's over. I think Jay's got this one in the bag.
I wonder if he shares your confidence.
If Jay ever had a doubt about himself, it'd die of loneliness.
You sure? Yesterday he didn't look like the same cocky son of a we all know.
That's such a bad thing?
Paul, what separates you from Dizzy isn't skill, humility, or cockiness.
She gets out of bed, using the sheet to cover herself up.
It's that you don't want to be Dizzy Dean, and he does.
Dorothy gracefully drags the sheet against the ground as though it were an elegant gown.
Now, is that such a bad thing?
She drops the sheet just before entering the bathroom. She steps inside and closes the door behind her. Paul thinks to himself as he hears her start the shower. Interior dugout day. Dizzy's hands waver as he tightens up his cleats. Paul comes up to the locker near him.
I was thinking, how about we go see Elmer during the off season?
I'd rather pay for him to come up to us. I hate Texas.
Paul chuckles. From his pocket, he takes out the smooth stone that Dorothy gave him from the other night.
Growing up, you made everything look easy. I hated you for that.
And you made being good look like it was nothing. I never got that.
But you ain't just good, Jay. You're the best there is.
Paul passes Dizzy the stone.
So show them tigers they ain't nothing but a ripple in a pond.
Dizzy stares up at Paul for a moment. He flashes that trademark smirk, then heads down the tunnel. The team curiously follows behind him. Interior tunnel continuous. Dizzy leads his pack of teammates, Paul right behind him. Interior field continuous. Paul follows one step after Dizzy. They all strut out of their dugout, cross the infield, and go into the opposing dugout. Interior Tigers locker room, continuous. The Tigers players chat as they get dressed. Dizzy bursts in from the tunnel. He flexes his right bicep.
Greenberg, want to feel the arm that's going to be striking you out?
The Tigers rush at Dizzy. The Gas House gang come up from behind to defend him. The team yells over each other. And right in the thick of it, Dizzy and Paul share a smile. Interior field day. Ripper hits the ball in the outfield gap. He races past first base and on to second. Insert.
In 1934, Ripper Collins was the National League home run champion, second in RBIs, and led the Gas House gang with a .333 batting average. He eventually married an actress, 16 years younger than him.
Medwick slides hard into the Tigers' third baseman as he records a triple. The team's empty for a near brawl. Insert.
Ducky Medwick is the last National League player to win the Triple Crown in 1937 and was elected to the Hall of Fame. During World War II, he met the Pope and said, "Your Holiness, I too used to be a cardinal."
Pepper beats a throw from the Tigers catcher to steal second base with ease. Insert.
Pepper led the National League in stolen bases for 3 years and was a four-time All-Star. A reporter later wrote that he was a chunky, unshaven hobo who ran the bases like a berserk locomotive, slept in the raw, and swore at pitchers in his sleep.
Leo backhands a ball between second and third. He plants his feet and fires to get the Tigers runner out at first. Insert.
Leo DeRocha was elected into the Hall of Fame and is credited with coining the term "nice guys finish last." He ranks 10th in career wins by a manager and ranks 4th all-time in ejections.
Interior general manager's box continuous. Branch passes out cigars to a bunch of fans who he invited into the suite with him. Insert.
Branch Rickey invented the modern minor league farm system and was elected into the Hall of Fame. As the Brooklyn Dodgers general manager, he broke the color barrier by bringing up Jackie Robinson, with Leo DeRocha as his manager.
Interior field day. Frankie taps different parts on his body to give a signal from the dugout. Insert.
Frankie Frisch ended up as a 4-time World Series champion, a National League MVP, and was elected into the Hall of Fame. He became a broadcaster with his trademark phrase, "Oh, those base on balls," regarding his frustration with pitchers.
Dizzy pitches and strikes out the last Tiger batter. The Gas House Gang throws their gloves up in the air. Insert.
Dizzy Dean pitched an 11-0 shutout in Game 7 to win the 1934 World Series. He still holds the record for third most strikeouts in Cardinal franchise history. He was elected into the Hall of Fame, and the Cardinals retired his number, 17.
Patricia, Dorothy, and the other fans rush the field. Patricia sprints to Dizzy. She jumps on him and topples him over. Paul finds Dorothy in the chaos. He kisses her with the celebration ensuing all around them. Interrupting their kiss, Dizzy and Patricia hug them from both sides. They all smile and put their arms around each other. Fade 2, Interior Busch Stadium 3, Hallway Day. A framed picture of Paul and Dizzy hangs on the wall. Insert.
The Dean brothers pitched every inning in all 4 Cardinal victories in the 1934 World Series.
Insert underneath Paul.
Paul Dean pitched for 9 seasons and was a minor league manager for 7 years. He married Dorothy and they had 4 children together. He used the money from winning the World Series to buy a farm where he enjoyed a private, quiet life with his family.
Insert underneath Dizzy.
Dizzy used the money to buy Patricia an airplane.
Fade to black.